Welcome to First Things First with Stephen R. Covey, A. Roger Merrill, and Rebecca R. Merrill. In this presentation, the authors present a dramatically different approach to time management. This is a principle-centered approach. It transcends the traditional prescriptions of living faster, harder, and smarter. Rather than offering you another clock, this approach provides you with a compass. Because more important than how fast you're going is where you're headed. Dr. Covey begins by looking at the gap many of us feel between the way we spend our time and what's deeply important to us.
What are the first things to you? What are the most significant, the most important things to you? Assuming you were told that you had only a short while to live, what would you think about doing with the rest of your life? Assuming also that you were staying involved in your professional work or in your present activities. Or perhaps you'd want to change your professional work or your present activities, but you needed to make a livelihood. What would you do with the rest of your life? In other words, I'm asking you to think about the ultimate questions. Now, a follow-up secondary question would be, what keeps you from keeping those first things first? Think about it. Or are you keeping them first? Perhaps you feel like you are. Perhaps you're struggling. You know what we found in doing research among those who have studied the Seven Habits material and really got involved in it? And we've gathered data from survey research on these individuals. This represents over 50,000 managers. You know what habit had the lowest marks universally? Habit 3, first things first. That's one of the reasons we brought out the book, First Things First, when we did. The data was clear that most people kind of inwardly know what they should do, what they should put first, but they don't do it. They seem to be often distracted by other forces in the environment or in their habit patterns or the social agendas of their life, whatever. They get uprooted, and then they begin to experience this inward feeling of loss, this inward emptiness, this void, and it often becomes pervasive. There's a kind of feeling that perhaps my ladder is not leaning against the right wall. But I suggest the fundamental problem is we have a wrong-headed solution, and it is adding to the problem itself. It is a bad paradigm. Paradigm is one of my favorite words. It is a mental map. Some people call it a model, a theoretical explanation, a view of life, a pair of glasses. You could use many different symbols. It's essentially, what is life to you? In other words, how do you see it? I was visiting with a very prominent executive. In fact, he was the number two person in a major international corporation. I will never forget the setting. We had just concluded a morning seminar, and he wanted to visit. He was so anxious to get at his basic question, what to do with his own life. I asked him what the problem was, and he immediately responded, "My life has a hole in it. I feel an inward kind of sickness. I have given myself so diligently for so many years to my career that I feel like I have lost the childhood of my children, that I was just not there for them. I was not around enough. And even when I was around and rationalized in the name of quality time and giving them things," he said, "I knew it was not sufficient. When I was home, my mind wasn't home. My heart wasn't home. I was going through the motions. My mind was consumed. I was completely preoccupied with all that was happening, which was exciting, which was very challenging, and which seemed extremely meaningful. But now," he said, "I just feel this enormous void. I feel this emptiness. And you know what? My three kids feel the same thing. We've even talked about it together, and we're heartsick about it. All of us would like to, in some way, recover what we have lost." And he said, "Stephen, when you were talking this morning about climbing a ladder of success, and then getting to the top rung, or perhaps near the top rung, discovering at that time that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. It hit me most forcibly. It brought all of this to the surface, and that's why I wanted to visit with you. But you know, let me tell you something. And then you could see the excitement in his eyes. You could see his fire. And he pulled out from underneath the booth where he was sitting a blueprint of a home that he was building on the beach in Savannah, Georgia. And it was an intergenerational home. And he wanted to build it for his children and for their children. It was a grandchildren's home. And he was involving his children in the process of designing it. And they were excited, and he was excited. And the mutual excitement between them was synergistic. It created a kind of new life, a new sense of something is happening in our family that has not been there before. He said, I just can't get my head out of it. So if they offer me the job, if they invite me to be the CEO, I'll say one thing for sure. If I'm required to move to the new headquarters, I will not take the job. This other thing is too important to me. If they allow me to stay here in this home where we have so much hope and so much optimism and excitement, then I'll look at it again. But even then, I will look at it in an entirely different way. I'll organize my life in a different way because this is simply too important to me. I am not going to lose this again. Most people feel like they are subordinating their family and their health and often their integrity to work. You see, work is externally disciplined into our lives. The other three that I just mentioned, we have to make happen. Our family, our health, our integrity. We have to live so as to build those disciplines into our lives. If work is not intrinsically satisfying, people often get into a rebellious state, perhaps even unconsciously, to where they want no discipline in the other parts of their life. They just kind of let it all hang out. And then they often treat their loved ones worse than they would strangers. But when they contemplate first things, almost inevitably, they're the loved ones, they're the family, and the significant contributions that they want to make. So they experience this great gap, this loss, this emptiness, this void. Envision a symbol. It's the symbol of a compass over a clock. You will see this same symbol on the front of the book, First Things First. You'll see it on the front of the cassette package. It represents a whole different approach to time management. But really, this is more than time management. You will find as we go into this that we're dealing with an entire life orientation, a whole different approach of thinking about all of life. The compass is above the clock. In other words, principles represented by a compass is above the schedule represented by the clock. People and relationships are more important than schedules. Humanity is more important than efficiency. Empowerment is more important than control. These are not minor matters. These are major issues that impact the totality of our personal lives, our family lives, our organizational experiences, in fact, all of society. My daughter Maria phoned me about the frustration she was having. She just had this new baby, her third, and it was literally consuming her. Night and day, she wasn't getting good sleep. She had these two other children. Her husband was very, very helpful, but very busy in his professional activity. And Maria also had a lot of creative contributions that she wanted to make. She belonged to several organizations, and she wanted to contribute to those organizations. She's a creative writer. She has so much she wants to do. But this baby was consuming her. I tried to explain to her that her frustration was a function of her expectations. So I said to Maria, study the reality of your life. You can see that with a new baby, it is going to consume you, and perhaps this one in some special ways. And there are some things that you alone can do, even though your husband is helping you in consistent and very meaningful ways. Bag your organizer. Relax. Enjoy the baby. Adjust, and you'll find that you'll enjoy it. your satisfactions will come back to you. Your baby's probably sensing your spirit anyway, and maybe reacting. That may be part of the cause as to what's consuming you so much. I don't know. All I know is, give yourself totally to this, and do the best you can with the rest, but smile and enjoy. And she took this advice and literally responded. She just relaxed, and she said to me, I can't tell you the peace of mind that I have and the effect that it is having in her home. My life is imbalanced, but that's the way it should be. So if you're seasonally imbalanced, so what? Your whole life is balanced. Relax. Enjoy. Adjust your expectations.